Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Franchise interviews from Easton, Pennsylvania to Sydney, Australia. You're listening to Franchise Interviews. Franchise Interviews. Welcome to Franchise Interviews. Franchise Interviews has been giving an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship. Listen to interviews with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and attorneys. And now, welcome your host, Marty McDermott, and Franchise Interviews.
Hi everyone, and welcome to a very special edition of Franchise Interviews, where for over 8 years, we've been asking the franchisepreneurs one-on-one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott. I'm the president of Franchise Interviews, and we have a great show. Well, from what we've witnessed, the real estate market has changed dramatically over the last couple of years, and franchisees face a more difficult task of finding their way through that real estate maze and finding the best location for their particular franchise. Today, we're going to be talking about the importance of location with real estate expert Mark Block, and that's coming right up. Franchise Interviews. So stick around because we got a great show.
Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand, the opportunity to take control of your future and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach?
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know, the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open. Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com.
Are you looking for a franchise that delivers? Businesses will always need shipping, and for more than 25 years, loyal customers have depended on Unishippers for reliable savings and exceptional customer service. Unishippers is focused on just one thing, helping small and medium-sized businesses save time and money on all their shipping needs. And as the largest reseller of complete shipping services in the country, we have the buying power to ensure that we succeed. The Unishippers franchise offers low startup costs, no equipment or real estate required because they're not retail, residual income, and a quality of life and work-life balance. For more information on becoming a Unishippers franchisee, go to www.unishippers.com and click Franchise Opportunities or call Franchise Development at 801-708-5822. That's 801-708-5822. Franchise Interviews. From Easton, Pennsylvania to Sydney, Australia, you're listening to Franchise Interviews. Franchise Interviews.
Hi. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to a very special edition of Franchise Interviews, where for over 8 years, we've been asking the Franchepreneurs One One. I'm your host, Marty McDermott. I'm the president of Franchise Interviews. And from what we've witnessed, the real estate market has changed dramatically over the last couple years. Franchisees face a more difficult task of finding their way through that real estate maze and finding the best location for their particular franchise. Well, today we're glad to have Mark Block on the show, and I found Mark to be one of the most knowledgeable individuals on the topic of real estate, with a unique ability to help franchisees get through this maze and find great locations. Mark is a licensed real estate salesperson working with one of the most foremost real estate firms in New York City, Evo Real Estate. And Mark's unique experience covers every aspect of the real estate industry. Mark has run his own architectural firm, construction company, real estate development company, and has managed institutional real estate portfolios on a national basis with a tremendous success in negotiating and closing real estate transactions. Mark now brings that experience to franchisees, helping them find great locations and guiding the franchisees through the real estate transaction that follows. Hey, Mark, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
Marty, good morning. Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here with you.
It's my pleasure, Mark. It's great for me to do these shows, especially when I've had a chance to, you know, shake the guest hands and get to know them over time, you know, so it's really a privilege to finally have you on the show. Well, like guests, where are you calling from this morning?
Marty, I'm calling from New York City. I'm in Midtown Manhattan right now, Midtown. Yes. We're going through, you know, it's funny, I woke up, Marty, yesterday singing. You ever hear the song Hot Town Summer in the City?
I think it was about a spoonful
in 66. Well, we're having that kind of a week. It's been a beautiful, beautiful summer, but it's been so humid. You just kind of been dripping. But, you know, that's New York. You know?
That is New York, isn't it? Well,
yeah.
I'm sure the humidity doesn't slow you guys down, especially in New York, right, Mark? I mean, you guys seem
a million miles per hour.
I remember those days. I think I've mentioned to you, I was from Brooklyn, and I worked in New York for, it's fantastic, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I love it. You know, I lived out in San Francisco for a while. You know, I was doing work all over the country based out of San Francisco, and I just, you know, they say you take the guy out of New York, but you can't take New York out of the guy.
So I came back, and here I am. That's great. Well, as we alluded in our introduction, Mark, I mean, you really have a tremendous knowledge in all aspects of the real estate transaction, and your focus now is working with franchisees to help them find the best location. Maybe you could tell us, you know, how all that experience comes into play as you're working now with franchisees.
That's great, Marty. In working to find clients the best place as a professional, I use all that knowledge every day. You know, in real estate, it's like any business. The more you know about all aspects, the more successful the entire process is going to be. You know, and in the end, if you think about it, it's all about the transaction, closing the deal, and the best outcome for everyone. That's the bottom line. We all want to come out a win-win solution.
I was going to say, Mark, we've been doing the show now 8 years, you know, and it's amazing how many questions we get on the topic of location. And, you know, I think, you know, Franchise Interviews waited a little too long to have someone like yourself on the show, you know, where we can kind of refer people to an expert. I never told you this story, and my wife reminded me to tell you this quick story. I had a friend in Brooklyn. He bought a Cold Stone Creamery franchise and never went through with the franchise because he could never find that location. I mean, so this is where a guy like you really comes into play, isn't it?
Oh, I believe so. I believe so. And I think that Cold Stone Creamery, you know, they wanted a win-win situation. Now, the bottom line is getting them into the best location, finding what they want. Win-win. I think that's the bottom line. And you said Creamery didn't ultimately get in. They couldn't find a space. Is that what you're saying?
He actually ended up selling the franchise. It was such a hassle. And you know the problem was that he tried to do all of this on his own, pretty much. You know what I mean?
You can't do that.
He wasn't. Yeah, and you can't, especially if you don't have a background in this particular industry. You know, you're going to run into problems, you know. So he's just holding on to this franchise license and never did anything. I think he sold it back to the company. But, you know, it's just a shame, you know. So, but, I mean, it seems like there's this great synergy that develops between you and the client. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about that synergy, Mark, and, you know, what kind of relationship actually develops between you and the client.
Well, you know, that's interesting because as you said that, I just remembered, I had a talk with Michael Gerber a few weeks ago. I think you know Michael, don't you?
Oh, my God. I love Michael Gerber. He is, I've had the chance of interviewing him 3 times in my life, and every time you talk to him, and I suspect you had the same experience, you hang up the phone and you just have all this adrenaline pumping through you, don't you?
I got off the phone. I was so pumped up. But our discussion, you know, I talked about my knowledge, and I was having trouble, you know, really understanding how to define. He says, you know, Mark, you remind me of a discussion I had about Steve Jobs. It was very interesting because he said, what was the difference between Steve Jobs and any other entrepreneur?
Yeah.
And he said what made Steve Jobs the remarkable entrepreneur and businessman that he was is not that he knew more. I look at my knowledge and I've got all this knowledge. I said, Mark, it's not that you know more. Because the reality is you don't. You know, you know a lot, but there's always someone that can know more.
I agree.
But the reality is, like Steve Jobs cared more. So one of the things that made Steve Jobs that remarkable as he was he cared more.
Right.
And he cared more than anyone else, so he saw opportunities to pursue that no one else saw.
Yeah.
And I think it's that same kind of a relationship. It goes to any business transaction. And I think it applies here as well. So if you care more and you listen and you're present, if you feel your mind, if you're there, you know, you can feel you're rich with ideas. And I think that's the motivation that's important. I think that's something that I've learned in all my years of real estate and development. And I had an architecture practice, and I've managed big portfolios and closed huge deals. But the fact is, if you're there and you're present, you see the difference, and you really bring a creativity back into play. You know, it's very, very interesting. But so Marty, he's a great guy, I must say. It was the most remarkable talk I've ever had.
He really is incredible, and he uses a lot of those examples, doesn't he, when he talks, you know, talk about Steve Jobs or Bill Gates or anyone like that. And I know, you know, to have that chance to speak to someone like that on the phone is just, it doesn't happen often, you know. So for him to speak to you, I think that's fantastic. Being in New York, Mark, I mean, I never asked you this. You know, we probably may have crossed paths. We didn't get a chance to see each other. But New York recently had that big, they call it like the Super Bowl of franchising, you know, where they have the IFV at the Jacob Javits. And I know you had a chance to attend the show. But do you have any thoughts this year on the show, like how it went? Or, Mark, I was, you were recently at they call it the Super Bowl of franchising event. And I know you were actually at the Jacob Javits this year. And you attend a lot of these shows. I mean, you know, what were your thoughts on this year's show?
I've spoken to a lot of people that have gone to the shows that have had the worst time. They're horrible. My experience, and I think it's something that your listeners should understand, to go to these shows cold is very difficult.
Okay.
I have found that if you research and call people, let them know you're coming, and you know, and start dialogue before you get there, when you get to the show, it is a completely different experience. And I called Tilted Kilts of the world. I called Liberty Tax Service of the world, you know. And we were really able to to transact and work together and talk, and it was a wonderful, wonderful show. I'm always meeting some of the best people at these shows. And actually, in the entire franchisee world, with franchisors and old franchise world, I meet some of the most amazing people, I have to tell you that. So it was for me, it was a great show, Marty. I missed you. I really did.
Yeah, and we'll, next year we'll have to make sure that we get together. I think I mentioned to you, I made the mistake of taking my 7-year-old son, you know, who was just kind of like all over the place. And I was kind of joking with some of the people that I met at the booths, Marco, saying, you know, how I'm grooming him to, do the show in a couple of years, you know, so I don't have to do it anymore, and I can just kind of like run the switchboard. But, you know, someday, you know, you and I, we've had previous conversations in the past, and that's why I've had you on the show, because I was very impressed with your background. And you know, you're very big on education. Maybe we could talk a little bit more about that as well, Mark, if you can elaborate a little bit on the education aspect.
You know, Marty, I believe that an educated client in any field, you know, in any aspect of the business is the best client,
Sure.
An informed client is the best, you know. And when I say educating, you know, there's a part of our relationship that is educating.
Right.
You know, and I make sure that I bring to the table and I bring to the franchisees my knowledge and analyzing certain areas of the city, maybe certain location, find the location, preparing in the letter of intent, going through the lease negotiation. This is an educational process that takes time, you know. But
sure.
Equally as important, Marty, is actually learning that the franchisee himself, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think that franchisees need to be more educated about the market, about the product, about, mm-hmm. you know, where they're going into, about pricing. And I'm finding that that's kind of lacking a little bit. So I try in the relationship that we have to really work and work through these issues. You know, and Marty, there's so much great reading out there.
Yeah.
You know, have you read the e-books? Have you read
I've read like the E-Myth.
Martin Gerber's books, the e-books, the E-Myth. He's very, very motivational. Those are truly great books.
They're fantastic.
There's,
books. Yeah.
You know, Steve Strauss, he's a columnist. He's a columnist with USA Today. He has written something called The Small Business Bible. I don't know if you've read that. It's great. Franchise Times has a great book on,
oh, yeah.
I don't remember the name, Managing, Owning, and Running a Franchise.
Yes.
And that particular book, there's a section on real estate. There's a whole section on real estate in that book.
That book is fantastic.
So
isn't it? I think that's one of my favorite books on the topic of franchising. And we had the author of that book on the show. Her name was Julie Bennett. And I thought she did an amazing job. And you know what? I forgot about that. She did include a real estate section in there, didn't she?
Yeah, it's short. It's only about 15 pages. But it really does identify and help these franchisees kind of understand what's going on.
That's fantastic.
So, Marty, Go ahead.
You know, I was going to say, Mark, you know, I mean, the interesting thing about real estate is, you know, and you're, you know, our guests or our listeners will be able to recognize, you know, your New York accent. You know, they always say to me, you know, you recognize that I'm from, you know, the East Coast. But, you know.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, exactly. You got that right from the Bronx, right? My mom and dad are both from, you know, most of my family is still from New York, you know. So, I mean, it's nice talking to you because, you know, it's always nice to, I feel like, talking to someone from home, being out here in Eastern Pennsylvania. You know, there's parts of New York that I certainly miss. But, I mean, you know, with all of your knowledge, you know, and the education, does this knowledge translate, like, around the country? Because you're in New York City. I mean, do you work in other areas of the country? And if so, do you have to relearn everything, Mark?
You know, that's complicated. It's kind of yes and no. But before
mm-hmm.
I go there, I've got to tell you a little story.
Mm-hmm.
I lived in San Francisco and moved back to New York, as I mentioned earlier. And I remember walking into a local bagel store,
mm-hmm.
and asking for a bagel. And there's someone in front of me, and the guy goes, "Hey, Tony, I want a coffee, light, two sugars." I said, "What the heck is he talking about?" So there's degrees of New York accent.
Oh, absolutely. I would totally agree with that. There's Brooklyn accents, and there are Staten accents, and Bronx, and Long Island, and everything in between, you know. And
right.
It's interesting. I mean, in doing this radio show now, Mark, I mean, in talking to people, you know, from all different parts of the country, you're able to actually tell almost where they're from, you know, in doing so
That's
many
right.
interviews. It's really an interesting skill that I picked up by accident, you know, but
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, we're talking about
you
the whole thing
of...
Go ahead. No, see,
no,
you
speak to 300 people, you're gonna pick up accents. That's all.
Exactly. And some of them are stronger than others, you know. But you were mentioning that, you know, it's always been my curiosity is, you know, because you do this on the national level, mm-hmm. but you are still able to help your clients nationally. It's not just a regional type of services. That's correct, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's true. And yes, my hometown is, and the boroughs, the five boroughs in New York are territory I know, and I know it well.
Right.
But I work with a group called NAI Global.
Okay.
NAI Global is a national, I use it through Evo. NAI Global is a single largest, most powerful, it's a global network of owner-operated real estate brokerage firms. It's the largest in the country.
Mm.
And I have access to over 300, it's about 375 real estate offices around the country. So what happens is the closer I work with a franchisor, with the corporate office and the franchisees, the better I get to know the product.
Right.
And the more able I am to take that model and move into pretty much any city in the country and work with the top brokers in that city. So while the knowledge of New York is very unique to New York, and I'd like to touch on that just in a minute maybe if we have time,
sure.
But the fact that the franchisor, their model, they're set, and I think the most successful from what I've learned, the most successful franchisees follow the model,
mm-hmm.
and they follow it well, and they do it well. Now, so you can take that model and move it into any city in the country.
Right.
You know, so
that's interesting,
now,
right? So there are similarities, is what you're saying. You know, whether it's Texas or North Dakota, there are similarities.
There are.
It doesn't just have to be New York.
Correct. Now, there are, every city is different. As an example, I'll throw out an example to you, San Francisco.
Okay.
San Francisco and New York, they're two of the biggest cities in the country, but they have a very, very different approach to the real estate transaction.
Right.
San Francisco is trying to avoid what happened here in New York. If San Francisco, by the way, for your listeners, if you're a franchisor and you're beginning your franchise expansion,
mm-hmm.
and you have less than 10 doors open yet, I believe San Francisco is probably the best place to get started.
Really?
Because their goal, their rule, well, they're all great, but once you get up and running, once you have more than 10 doors around the country, you can't get into San Francisco.
Oh, really?
You can't do it.
Wow.
They have what's called a retail formula plan. And other than if you're in Union Square, which is right downtown, or I believe Fisherman's Wharf area,
okay,
you cannot come into the city. If you do want to come into the city, you have to go through a community review board. They have a whole review process that could take years. They intensely push it to be years. So San Francisco is maintaining this kind of boutique-ish feeling, and it's really wonderful. So there's actually more available, but I still think it's a great opportunity. Now, unlike New York is, you know, it's the Wild Wild West still here. It is big time. If you have money, you've got a good concept, and you can find a location, you can open up as many stores as you want. Now, the nice thing about New York is you've got 35 San Franciscos tucked in New York.
Right.
And a good, you know, fast food, you know, fast casual, you know, I'm working with Liberty Tax Service, I'm working with Retro Fitness, you know, I've got all these wonderful both food service and wet and dry goods. New York, they never put anything like that in place. So it's you can come in any time. You've got the money, you've got the concept, you've got the location, you're good to go. And Denver's different because Denver has, you know, a different problem. They've grown the sprawl, and they didn't develop enough retail, so there's not available. It's another ballgame. So you have to know the locals, which is why through NAI, I'm able to find the people that know the most about every market and leverage that to find the best locations for clients, for franchisees.
That's fantastic. You, This is probably more of a legal question, but you know, you've mentioned in a previous conversation that I've had with you, Mark, the need to protect the space. I mean, can you expand a little on this?
Sure. You know something? Who would I talk to? You know Kevin Hine, I think. I work with Kevin Hine in Denver.
He's great, isn't
Kevin,
he?
He's great. You know, I believe he's one of the best franchise attorneys I know.
Yeah, I think we've actually said that on the show. Yeah, he's really fantastic.
He's just a wonderful guy. He and I have met, you know, we work together. And he and I were looking at, like, landlord motives. And when you say protecting the lease, protecting that space, you want to get as long a term lease as possible. But you have to make sure, and Kevin's great at this, you know, you have to make sure that you're protected. And franchisees go through changes. I mean, you probably know that
right.
better than I, and I think all your listeners probably understand that. They're changing. You can't expect a new franchisee who's walking into a city, any city in the country, with one location, that he's not going to grow. He's
right.
not going to change. He's not going to look to transfer that lease. He's not going to He's not going to want to reorganize. He's not going to maybe set up a holding company.
Gotcha.
And I think that you have to make sure and you have to work to protect these franchisees and the tenants to make sure that they have this growth covered, that their assets protected, it's long-term protected, that they are protected so that they can bring on a partner. And the landlord's not trying to get into their pocket saying, bring on a partner, it's X dollars. You want to make a transfer, it's Y dollars. You know, and that's the game. That's what you have to be careful of. And that's what franchise, that's why, you know, I work with Kevin, that's something that he's really keyed into. So if I have a question on a lease,
you can call him. It's a great lesson, you know, and it's one of the things that we've learned over the last 8 years as well, Mark, is, you know, it's interesting to me, you know, at this point, I mean, the more I've learned in doing the show is that I find it amazing that some people will go into their search of buying a franchise and they won't use someone like yourself or they won't use a Kevin Hine as a franchise attorney, and they'll just try to do all of it on their own. And I think at this point that can be disastrous. Not even having an accountant look at, you know, the FDD, you know what I mean, and look at the numbers, mm-hmm. you know, because I've heard of, heard all the stories throughout the years, you know, where
right.
an accountant will look at an FDD and they say, you don't want to do this, you know, it's not going to work, you know. So I think one of the learning lessons also is to use experts and not go about this on their own, you know, because what I think would be a good location, someone like yourself can look at it and say, you're crazy, you know, it's you don't want to do this.
Right.
And I think that happens too often in franchising. I don't know if it's the entrepreneur in somebody where they want to go at it alone, you know, but it seems a bit disastrous, and I think you're taking a very big chance if someone doesn't use someone like yourself to, you know, find a location. So you're working on a blog too, aren't you, Mark? Did you want to talk maybe a little bit about that? I find that interesting.
Marty, you know, my blog is, I'm starting a new blog. It's called therealestateexaminer.org, and
okay.
it's an educational blog that I'm getting involved in here. I've just started, just launched it.
Okay,
so there's not a lot there yet. I'm hoping that I can get your listeners to kind of help me out. You know, we've brought up a number of subjects during our talk that I think may have sparked some interest on your listeners. And if they could give
right.
me a little feedback on these and give me some subjects and topics,
sure.
I'd expand on those and do some blogs on those. So it's realestateexam.org. That's the best way to contact me. Go right there, say contact us, and send me their email, and I'll get right back to them. I think that's the best way.
That's great. And then have you thought about topics, Mark, as far as I know, like the listeners are going to kind of give you some ideas as far as like what to talk about. But I guess there's like dozens of different topics you can write about from all your experience, isn't there?
You know, I've thought of issues on lease related, really give me questions
yeah.
on lease related topics, questions on property types, property sizes, just the myriad of issues that come up when a customer is looking for property or dealing with real estate, and they could expand it if a customer is looking to buy a piece of property. We can have a discussion on how to buy properties, you know, values and properties, how to value them, how to take your business model and use that into buying a piece of property. So we can go that way as well.
I was teaching a course last week, Mark, and I was talking to my students about negotiation, and a lot of the students were mentioning how they weren't very good at negotiating. Isn't that where someone like you comes in as well? You know, I mean, again, getting to know you over time, I can see how you would certainly fight for your clients.
Right. Well, negotiations is key. You know, there's so many pieces of the lease that the franchisees aren't really, you know, experts in. And I've done enough leases, and I mentioned Kevin Hine earlier today. Kevin and I have done some amazing negotiations for tenants on leases and gotten very, very, very favorable terms.
Wow. And that's great, because I think the average person, I think maybe, or I'm thinking, Mark, again, you have more experience in this than I do, but, you know, that there's sometimes people, they go into franchising and they don't even know that there's any part of the, there is no negotiation. They just think that whatever the landlord says, that's okay. And whatever the franchisor says, that's okay, you know, and it's not always true, is it? I mean, negotiation is important to being successful in this whole process, isn't it?
It is, Marty. And if I could just bring up, you know, as you're talking, you made me think of two, if I can just bring up two little issues where it's point of case. Lease transfers, negotiating a lease transfer. Let's assume for a minute, franchisee grows, he picks up two new concepts, and he creates a new partnership.
Right.
Or let's assume for a minute that he just picks up a new partner. He's growing. He's got a license to three or four more locations, picks up a partner. Or, you know, and let's assume maybe that he just wants to sell the business.
Right.
So he's got to make sure that this transfer issue, and that's very, very important in a lease negotiation. And there's one other thing, maybe just exit strategies. I think these kind of things in a good negotiation, an exit strategy, you know, here in New York, we have what's called a good guy guarantee. A good guy guarantee clearly defines for the franchisee what it is that he's up against if he wants to walk away from the lease. And that's important to negotiate terms that are very favorable to the franchisee. Those are just two subjects, Marty. You know, it's a whole lease, and we don't have time to go over everything, but those are kind of two points that are critical for negotiations.
Those are two blogs right there, right, Mark, as far as topics, you know, exit strategies.
Absolutely. I think that's very important. I'll put a blog up on those.
I'm glad you said that, too, because, you know, I mean, in the 8 years of doing the show, I think we've only spoken about exit strategies maybe once or twice, and that's not enough. I don't think I ever told you this. I got involved in a business deal back in 1999, and when it came time to get out of the business, there was no exit strategy. And you can imagine what a mess it was when I tried to get out of it. It was just, and of course, it had to go to court, and you know, it's never pretty. You know, it's you have to have an exit strategy.
And that's actually what I have seen more franchisees get in so much trouble, like you did, because that was the wrong negotiation up front. And it's more about, like I said earlier, it's about education, understanding the lease, and negotiating, being in a strong negotiating place.
Yeah, I think that's fantastic. Well, this has been a great conversation, Mark, and I would like to continue this conversation, you know, with you. And, you know, I know there's some other things that we spoke about as far as other topics we can address on the show, and I would like to do that with you, you know, so I think that is fantastic. So the blog, again, is realestateexaminer.org. Is that correct?
Uh-huh.
Okay, that's fantastic.
That's,
and we'll direct our listeners in that direction, and that's great. So that's good. So that's all right.
Franchise Interviews. From Easton, Pennsylvania to Sydney, Australia, you're listening to Franchise Interviews. Franchise Interviews. Franchisers, are you looking to reach aspiring entrepreneurs looking to buy a franchise? Are you looking to reach a highly educated audience on franchising? For over 8 years, Franchise Interviews has been giving an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com. where you can hear and read interviews as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts and attorneys, and our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919. That's 610-905-2919.
Hi, everyone. This is Marty McDermott from Franchise Interviews, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising. For each podcast, you get to hear a great quote in franchising. You know, Don and I have been hosting Franchise Interviews now for almost 2 years, with 100 shows under our belt, and during that time frame, we've had some incredible quotes from the guests that have been on our show. If you're a frequent listener to our weekly radio show, then you know what fans Don and I are of the great Michael Gerber, author of the very successful E-Myth Revisited and Awakening the Entrepreneur Within. What's even more amazing is how often Michael's name has come up from our guest in the past 2 years. So you're going to hear from the great Michael Gerber in just a moment. And for the first time on Blog Talk Radio, Franchise Interviews is giving franchisors a unique opportunity to sponsor our weekly radio show. You can have a professionally recorded commercial run on our live as well as archive shows. And here's a quick message from our sponsor, and then again, the great Michael Gerber. Enjoy.
Franchise Interviews. For over 2 years now, Franchise Interviews has been giving you an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship.
Through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising.
And our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, experts, and attorneys.
And our free franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise.
And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919.
That's 610-905-2919.
Which, by the way, I'm now reading again for the second time. I recommend everybody out there, it's been a while since they've read the E-Myth, to read it again. It's really a great little refresher because people seem to forget about things over time, Michael.
I've got guys, I swear, Don, who tell me they pull out the E-Myth Revisited every year. Mm-hmm. One gentleman I spoke to, the founder of an extraordinary company, 1-800-GOT-JUNK, mm-hmm. who's a franchisor.
Right.
He credits the E-Myth with the creation of his company, and he credits the E-Myth with the continued vitalization of his company and the growth of his company. They now have a few more than 300 franchisees around the world. The guy is less than 40. He's the CEO of this company. He started by driving a truck, picking up junk, read the book, read the E-Myth Revisited, and suddenly saw the light. And the product of that is a company which last year did $147 million in gross revenue and has the expectation of reaching $1 billion in revenue in the next 8 years. So the man's on path, and he takes the E-Myth out every year and reads it again and insists that every one of his management team reads the book. And in fact, I'm the keynote at his annual event in March. So I'll be in Vancouver addressing 1-800-GOT-JUNK.
Right, right. The show we had last week, Michael, with the CEO and president of a franchise opportunity called Desert Moon, Gary Occhigrasso, he spoke about you for like 10 minutes during the show. I mean, it's just amazing the impact that you've had in the franchise community. I mean, your name comes up every other show.
Thank you. And, you know, I don't know 90% of these people, so I hear...
Well, he's going to be happy
that we mentioned, this guy says, and this guy says, and that guy... It's really quite extraordinary to me, because I don't know these people.
Exactly. I can't imagine, you know, what kind of fuel you have. I mean, I don't know how you go to bed at night, Michael. I mean, changing the story you told about, you know, the young gentleman, you know, being depressed and stuff like that. I mean, the kind of fuel that you must get from that kind of situation must be incredible for you.
It is. It's absolutely extraordinary, and life is simply an array of infinite options, and they're continually showing up.
Absolutely.
They're constantly showing up. I can't imagine how anybody could feel limited or deprived of opportunity when there is so much more opportunity than any single one of us could possibly deal with. And I see it every single day in my mind. There's one, there's one, there's one. Why doesn't anybody do that? Why doesn't anybody do that? It's extraordinary when you begin to experience the entrepreneur within, and anybody, any single person on the face of this earth can experience it if they begin the process right. And that's what I'm committed to.
Absolutely. And the title is great, too, Michael, you know, how you added, in addition to how ordinary people create extraordinary companies without any experience to guide them. You were one of those people. I think you referenced Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, Michael Dell. I mean, all these guys really didn't have this significant experience in business. It was all based on a dream or their imagination.
Exactly. They had no experience in business. Bill Gates wasn't a business guy.
Right.
Bill Gates didn't work for a living. Bill Gates went to Harvard and then dropped out. Michael Dell didn't have any experience when he started his business. Nobody, no great entrepreneur, has necessarily had any business experience at all. They simply imagined a result that they saw was absolutely needed in the world, and then they invented the answer to that problem in a business. Well, anybody can do that.
Right.
And in the book, Awakening the Entrepreneur Within, I take you step by step by step through the golden process through which any company can be started from scratch in your garage. And I'm essentially saying, if your car is parked in your garage, move it out and start a business.
Exactly, absolutely.
It seems like, Michael, top entrepreneurs are never satisfied. I mean, in Chapter 3 of your book, I thought it was great. You talk about you woke up one day and you had nothing to do. Personally, I mean, that's my dream, to wake up one day and have nothing to do, but just for a day before I get back to business. But, you know, of course, yourself being a top entrepreneur, you just weren't satisfied with that. You know, you had to, you know, take that next step and, you know, and do something great again. And that's what you did, obviously, with this book.
Yeah, well, and you got to understand, when I say I had nothing to do, I had everything to do, but I didn't have to do it.
Right.
In other words, I didn't have to go out and earn a living anymore.
True.
But I do. I didn't have to go out and speak anymore, but I do continuously. I didn't have to go out and write another book. My books are among the top 5 business books ever published in the world. E-Myth Revisited sells more books every year than it sold before.
Wow.
It's the most extraordinary phenomenon. So I didn't have to do anything. There's nothing that caused me to go out and create the Dreaming Room other than my fertile imagination.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm simply saying, what an extraordinary place to live in the imagination. Because one can begin to imagine a world unlike the world we live in, and then take it upon yourself to invent it. And that's all it is, inventing it. Everybody invents every single day of their life. The problem is, most of us invent the past.
Mm-hmm. True.
I'm about inventing the future.
Right. And this book precedes the E-Myth, Michael, so I guess everybody who has read the E-Myth is going to have to read Awakening the Entrepreneur Within as well.
Your lips to God's ears.
There you go.
So thanks, everyone, for listening, and we'll see you next week with another edition of Franchise Interviews. Take care, everyone.